Welcome back to the New Talk, the Bob Davis Podcasts. This is going to be podcast 456. I'm going to talk about bad omens for election 2016 for people on the right as kind of an addendum to the podcast I did, podcast 455, about misplaced political passion or not having your right-wing political movement connected to anything that actually produces results in elections. And I think we just had a local election, and I want to talk a little bit about the bad omens that that may be indicating in this podcast. Well, you've heard me talking about Hydrus, which is the high-performance beverage that uses something called nanosome technology to get critical electrolytes into your muscles with unrivaled speed and effectiveness. And there's no sugar in it, so it doesn't have the sugar of traditional sports drinks. It's great for weight cuts for wrestlers, for example. And I usually talk about yoga, and the reason I talk about yoga is it's a great example of being hydrated because you're in rooms of over 100 degrees, you have high humidity, whether you're doing it really slow or doing it really fast or doing it with weights, you're going to sweat a lot and you can get really dehydrated. So even if you drink a lot of water, you're still dehydrated, and that's what gives you the soreness the next day. Well, you know, it's been really cold in Minnesota the last couple of weeks, and I have a listener, Michael Sean, who texts me all the time. We always argue about politics. And he bought some Hydrus. I went to the website. You click on the Hydrus banner at the top of the bobdavispodcast.com. It's hydrusperformance.com. You can get a free sample. You can buy it, whatever. And it shows you how to use it. But Michael is a cross-country skier. And he texted me this weekend. In fact, he mentioned on Facebook, you know, that he used Hydrus for cross-country skiing. And this is when it was really cold. And he was amazed at his performance increase and how he felt after and being able to get right back out there the next day to work out using cross-country skiing. So I thought that was a really cool story. So Hydrus is a great thing. People say, are you just selling this or is this for real? No, I use it like all the time. I think it's the greatest thing ever. And because I thought that with all the yoga that I was sore, and I thought soreness went with the territory, but really it's about hydration. And it doesn't matter whether you're doing CrossFit, whether you're lifting weights, you're doing SoulCycle, you're doing Orange Theory, whatever it is that you're doing to stay fit, even just walking, or if you're older, you may be dehydrated and not really even know it. So join the performance hydration revolution. Visit hydrusperformance.com. It explains the whole thing. That's Hydrus, H-Y-D-R-U-S, performance.com, or you can click on the Bob Davis Podcasts page, and there's a banner at the top with Hydrus Performance. It's one of the sponsors, so they are the rotating banners. You'll see it. It's the big blue Hydrus Performance banner. Click on that. It'll take you to hydrusperformance.com, and they will tell you more about it. You can get free samples, and let me know. I mean, I love hearing people's experience with Hydrus. And thanks, you guys, for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcasts. Well, first of all, this is a rare morning podcast for me. It is...
What time is it?
It's only 9 o'clock. A.M., which is bizarre for me because usually I'm exactly reversed. And I want to talk about how that happened. So for the last week or so, I guess it's been 2 weeks, I've been getting up at like 6 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock, 7 o'clock, and falling asleep at like 9:30, which is weird for me because I do a lot of my work in the middle of the night. And a few years ago, a friend gave me this. It's one of these things called a sad light, and it's for whatever the sad is. It's when people don't get enough light in the summer, and it's a UV light. It's not as powerful as a sun lamp, but it's UV light, and it imitates sunlight. So I reached a point with my schedule where I was going to sleep at 9 o'clock a.m. and getting up at like 4 or 5 o'clock. And I never slept more than 6 or 7 hours or so. But I would go to bed. I would try to go to bed early, you know, and which for me was 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And I would toss and turn and I couldn't sleep. And I would, you know, my mind was going 100 miles an hour. And so as a natural course, I just pulled the lamp out and I thought, well, it is winter and I'll just sit in front of this light. And I've been taking my vitamin D, and you sit in front of the light for like 20 minutes a day, you know, or whatever. And I'm not depressed. I don't have depression. It's nothing like that. But I thought maybe the light will help just at least so I can get some sunlight if I'm going to be nocturnal. Well, the thing completely reset my body clock. It's bizarre. And it did it like, boom. It took like 2 weeks of sitting in front of the light, 20 minutes or so a day, And I completely just, my body clock just flipped. It's so bizarre. So now I went out to dinner with Greg Ryan the other night, one of my clients, and my eyes were literally, I couldn't hold my eyes open. It was like 8:45 p.m. So this is completely bizarre to me to be up and perfectly excited and happy at 9 o'clock in the morning is so bizarre. So I just got up and I thought, well, I'm going to do a podcast about the Senate race, the Senate district race in Senate District 35. This is a local Minnesota, you know, metropolitan Minneapolis, St. Paul Senate district. So this is going to be a bit local. And the reason I want to talk about it is because of the podcast I did just before this one, podcast 455, in which I talked about what I perceive as relative political impotence by a group of people who are honest, earnest, genuine people. And that would be the Tea Party in Minnesota, and in particular a Tea Party group. But I would think it probably applies to all Tea Party groups, you know, at least in this state and perhaps across the country. I don't know. I don't know enough about the Tea Party across the country to say that. But I was also told by a good friend who knew I was going to do this podcast, don't be mean, you know, and I don't want people to perceive that I am being mean. This podcast is entitled Bad Omens because I don't think what has happened in Senate District 35 here in Minneapolis and St. Paul in Minnesota is particularly a positive omen for whatever's going to happen in the general election in Minnesota and perhaps the nation at large. And this is why I want to do this podcast, because I think it's important criticism. I think it's an important story, and this is the relative impotence of the Tea Party, because all you hear about in the media, whenever anyone talks about the right, the Tea Party comes up as though it is the arbiter of all that is right wing and as though it is almost a political party. And yet, the only place that I can see the Tea Party being particularly effective politically is in Republican districts that are already plus 25, you know, plus 15 or plus, you know, it's considerably plus five or so districts. And just as an aside, Minnesota's 6th district is probably, if not the most conservative of the districts in Minnesota, which is not a conservative state. It certainly is one of them. And this was the district that Michelle Bachmann represented for, I don't know, four terms as congressman. And now Tom Emmer, who ran for governor in Minnesota, is now the congressman from the 6th district in Minnesota. So it's considered a conservative district. At one point, Tom ran afoul of the Tea Party in Minnesota because of some votes. He voted to retain or voted for Speaker Boehner at one point. That was one of his first votes, and he was taken to task by the Tea Party and in particular the North Metro Tea Party for this vote. And, you know, I ended up having a conversation with David Fitzsimmons, who was a former former state representative, and he's now his chief of staff. And we were talking about, I said at one point when I was talking to Tom, you know, why would you do that? You're from you've got a really strong conservative base in the 6th district. You don't need to vote. You could have gone and represented this really conservative group, which is a group which is decidedly anti-moderate. It is a group which, you know, you are quite at home discussing von Mises. You are quite at home discussing some of the most quote-unquote conservative ideas with these Tea Party groups. You know, conservative economic ideas. If you're really religious, you know, and you believe you're an evangelist, you know, Christian, and you want to find a political home, these are the kinds of meetings that you can find a political home. And David said, hey, you'd be surprised because the 6th district is considered really conservative, but it's not like Texas where you have plus 25 and Kansas where you have plus 25 Republican districts. This is, I think, I'm not sure, but I think they regard the 6th district as plus 6 or 7 Republicans. So it's losable if you don't moderate, in their opinion. I'm not endorsing that idea. But what they're saying is that Republicans in the state of Minnesota aren't necessarily Tea Party Republicans, okay? So I did this last podcast, podcast 455, and I came down pretty hard on the Tea Party concerning political activism. And I had lunch with somebody yesterday. The podcast was actually posted on, I think, Monday or Tuesday afternoon. I guess it was Monday afternoon. We've been having some issues, and I had to post it late. Plus, I've been having some scheduling issues. So instead of doing my podcasts at 2 o'clock in the morning and posting them at 3 or 4, so they're up and ready to roll, I'm kind of becoming an afternoon guy, you know, in terms of posting. Anyway, that's just an aside. And since I just woke up, you might hear a lot of those in this particular podcast. But where was I? Let me take a sip of coffee. Take a breath. But I said I was going to talk. There was a special election in Senate District 35, which is ground zero in terms of the supposed influence of the North Metro Tea Party, which was, there are a couple of different Tea Party groups in the North Metro. I've been to a few of them. There's a couple down in the South Metro as well. And we're talking about Minneapolis and St. Paul. If you're listening to this podcast and you don't live in the metropolitan area, and there was a Senate district race, which is a special election in Anoka, which is Senate District 35 in the state of Minnesota. Why am I talking about this? Well, the Republican BPOU up there, the Senate District 35 endorsed another candidate, Andy Aplikowski, for the Senate race, and Jim Abler, who's a former longtime state representative in Minnesota and a chiropractor and resident, I guess, of Anoka, decided that he was going to run for that race, and they did not endorse him. And the Tea Party and others up there who are really conservative went to the meeting, and they made sure that Andy won the endorsement. So he was the Republican-endorsed candidate. Abler beat Andy for that position to challenge the Democrat in this open seat that's being vacated by State Senator Brandon Peterson, who I think got a job someplace and is leaving. So Jim will be facing the Democrat in the Senate District 35 special election, which will be held in early February. And Jim Abler is decidedly not someone that would be endorsed by the North Metro Tea Party or any other tea parties. He generally is very moderate. In fact, he was considered Minnesota's most moderate state representative. He left the House to run for the U.S. Senate in 2014. I don't remember. I think it was 2014. It seems like yesterday. So it's hard for me sometimes. I can't remember if it was 2014. And because I ran into him at a meeting in way down in Rochester that he was speaking to. So anyway, that's why he left the House. And so he didn't think he was going to run. And suddenly he decided he was going to run. And there was a big, huge fight up there. And they didn't want him because he voted for the stadium, the Viking Stadium, which conservatives do not believe that state money should be used. Tax dollars should be used to support billionaire NFL team owners and building their stadiums. And he also consistently voted for more money for education and increasing the state budget, and most onerously voted for the establishment of the Obamacare health exchange, MinSure. So he is not necessarily a conservative. He's certainly not a friend of the Tea Party in that particular region. So why am I talking about this? I'm talking about it because it could be an omen or a harbinger of what I consider to be a very, very important story. You know, yesterday I went through, 300-400 pages of news again in an effort to say, well, I probably should. I've done a couple podcasts that really weren't, you know, focused on the news, so I should probably do one where I focus on news events. So I went through, and as I always do, you know, I will pull scores of stories, 50, 60, 70, sometimes 100 stories, print up 50 to 100 to 150 pages of material and sit up there in my kitchen and read it. And I did that yesterday. So this was a culmination of probably 5 days of pulling stories to read, printing them all up. I was able to pull out of that 5 or 6 stories that I figured were salient, and most of them were about economic news. And I found virtually all of the political coverage, and I use coverage with scare quotes because it hardly qualifies as coverage, to be so speculative that you're just getting virtually no information. It's this person thinks that Donald Trump is a fascist. This person says that people who say that Donald Trump is a fascist is wrong. This one says Donald Trump's going to win the presidency. This one says there's no chance. This one says watch out for this guy. He's coming. This one says poll today that says that Jeb Bush is coming up. He's now third overall in the nation. And I told you that was going to happen. So it's this storyline speculative nonsense. In fact, most of the economic news is nothing more than, as I have said in other podcasts, predicting the future. So there goes my podcast about current events. I am not going to sit here and talk about the State of the Union. I am not going to sit here and speculate on whether or not Obama is going to do another State of the Union. Some one major talk show says, you mark my words, he'll be back with another State of the Union. You know, it's just this is not information. This is not coverage of political news. It is nonsense. It's not even entertaining anymore. It's just bull. So I'm not going to do that. And so I thought, you know, I think this is an important story that isn't being covered. And this is a simple question. Is the Tea Party a political force or not? And if it isn't, then why is it that every time you bring up someone like Ted Cruz, the Tea Party comes up, or Donald Trump, the Tea Party comes up, as though it is a factor? And I'm not sure that it is a factor. I think it's a factor with certain talk show hosts. I think it's a factor with certain people in the media. And that's why I'm doing this, because I don't see this as a political factor necessarily. And I think it's illuminating. And I think it's an important story to cover. And here we have a local example of I don't know what else you'd say, and I don't want to be mean, but at the relative impotence of a supposed important political movement in American politics. Well, I am in the Southwest Metro, and if you listen real carefully, you can hear the sound of the planes, especially in the summer, because I'm right in the flight path. And I go up to the North Metro a lot. I'm talking a lot about the North Metro in this podcast, and you know, it's very amusing to me because you don't hear the planes up there, because obviously it's north and it's not part of the flight path, so you don't hear planes. They're at least not as low in the North Metro. And the North Metro is growing like crazy. I was up there yesterday and I was talking about, I'm still amazed at the amount of growth in the North Metro. And when it comes to real estate, especially in the North Metro these days, it's growing so fast that there are now more buyers than sellers. Change is one of those constants in the real estate business. And up to a certain point, it was a buyer's market. And now that has flipped to it becoming a seller's market, which means that if you're in the market to sell, and especially if you're in the market to buy, even in this kind of a situation, you need a real estate professional that understands the market. And I'm going to introduce, and I have been introducing, prideofhomes.com to listeners and subscribers to the Bob Davis podcast. Prideofhomes.com is a registered real estate agent and real estate investor with expertise to share with you. It is a husband and wife team with all the flexibility that that implies. Eric and Aram Lucero with Luke Team Real Estate, which is great for customer service. They're in the North and Northwest Metro, Maple Grove, Plymouth, Rogers, Dayton, Albertville, St. Michael, Elk River, Champlin, and the North Metro 94 Corridor. This is a weird podcast because I get to talk about personal experience with Bob Davis podcast sponsors and another Sean, not Mike. I talked about Sean, Michael Sean with Hydra. This is another Sean who just bought a house with Pride of Homes and Luke Team, and he said that they were great, that he's really happy and appreciative of everything that Eric and Aram Lucero did for him. So here's the deal. Reach out to them if you're looking for relocation or whatever up to the North Metro. You're looking for property to buy or sell in the North Metro, 763-433-9100, 763-433-9100. Buying or selling, you need real estate professionals with knowledge of the market, so you can find a property that fits your needs, or a buyer that has the right kind of financing and is ready to go to close. And again, as a husband and wife team, Eric and Aram Lucero can respond quickly. And when you combine that with real customer service, which they're famous for at Luke Team Real Estate, you're good to go. Again, 763-433-9100, 763-433-9100 for real estate expertise. Eric and Aram Lucero, thanks guys for sponsoring the Bob Davis podcasts. So what am I talking about specifically, and how does it play into Senate District 35? Well, I've been going around and I've been speaking at these meetings over the past few months, and I have been telling them, you have no political power. You have no ability to put pressure on state representatives, state senators, federal congressmen and senators or presidents or anybody else, because you haven't demonstrated, and I'm talking to the people in these conservative groups, you haven't demonstrated an ability to have an impact on the political process. And they spend immediately, and I don't care if I'm at a party, I don't care if I'm speaking to a group, the very first thing that they will start talking about is how I'm wrong, and they're doing this, and they're doing this, and they're doing this, and they're doing this. So here we are in Senate District 35, which is ground zero for one of the most active Tea Parties in the entire state of Minnesota. And you have a state representative running for the state Senate who is the poster child of moderate Republicanism. In fact, Jim Abler could run as a Democrat very, very easily in Minnesota, and he would be considered a conservative Democrat. So he is the poster child for everything the Tea Party hates. And yet they are unable to do anything to oppose him. So here's what they did. The night before the election, they tweeted a picture of a bunch of Tea Party guys making calls furiously at the last minute to try to support Andy Aplikowski, who's, I'm sure he's a perfectly normal, fine individual, certainly qualified to be a state senator. And as though that was going to put him over the finish line. And I drove up there yesterday to go to lunch, and there were so many Jim Abler signs all over the place. There was one Andy Aplikowski sign, and that's fine, but that's not going to be good enough. I drove all over Anoka, and I didn't find any. It was just Jim Abler everywhere. So if somebody were to say, well, what are you talking about then? I'm going to give you specifics of what I am talking about. When I talk about political action, when I talk about, we're talking, and I've done shows about it, I've had people on to talk specifically about programs that develop precinct by precinct voter turnout. We're talking about building a machine. We're talking about building a political machine that delivers votes and money consistently and doing that first. The difference between that and what the Tea Party's doing is, and this is what I talked about in the last podcast, you go to these meetings and you hear people talking about the Constitution and you hear people talking about guns and you hear people talking about all these national issues, but you don't see that much action in terms of building precinct by precinct political organizations. Why? Well, here's what you need for precinct by precinct political organizations. You got to have precinct chairs. You got to have precinct captains. You've got to have people that will help you win races. I'm aware of at least one person that these people contacted tried to run against State Representative Kurt Dowd, who also happens to be the Minnesota Speaker of the House. And I said to this individual, you should tell them this. You should say, I need a list of 100 people in each precinct. In other words, by precinct in the entire, House district that I'm going to be running in. If I'm going to run against the established Republican legislator, especially when the state party is probably going to put six figures into that race to make sure that the speaker wins his race in the upcoming election, which, by the way, is less than a year away. I want a list of 100 people by precinct who are going to help me go door to door and get contributions. And we need to raise at least $50,000 to $60,000 to win that House race if we're going to be running against the established House Speaker. Instead, what he got was some program that says, look, we're going to help you. Here's this app that shows how people vote. That's not what I'm talking about when I talk about political action. I'm talking about winning school boards. There's a big kerfluffle up there because the chairman of the school board in Senate District 35 sent out a letter on school board stationery that said, vote for Jim Abler. He's a friend of education, which he is because he consistently votes to increase education. And everyone's all upset about it. And it's like, okay, how many of your people are on the school board? How many of your people are on the planning councils? How many of your people are on the county council? How many of your people are sheriff? How many of your people, and so forth and so on. So you can't predicate consistent political leadership in Senate districts and House districts and U.S. congressional districts and statewide races if you have no one in these existing positions that people look to for leadership, whether you agree with their politics or not. And the reason I'm talking about this is I think this is a case nationwide. I think there's a lot of fluff. I think there's a lot of Tea Party guys that go to their state legislatures and they give them what for. I represent these Tea Party people and this is what you should be doing or we're going to make your life miserable. And those representatives, whether they're in the state house in Minnesota or the state house in Texas, they look at the district that an individual's from and they go, how many of your people are actually in the leadership structure? And I'm not talking about the basic political units. I'm talking about the school boards, the planning councils, and so forth. How many of your people are active precinct by precinct? How many contributions have you generated that you can come to me and say, I've got $35,000 to spend in this House race, which I can give you or I can give to your opponent. Or we can run someone in the general election and make sure that you don't win and we'll let the Democrat win. Or for that matter, the Republican, depending on what the race is. And by the way, if you're a Democrat, this is also interesting because all the Democrats hear about is how dangerous this Tea Party is and how potentially politically damaging this Tea Party is because they can put Ted Cruz in the White House. This is all before a single person has voted. This is all before a single person has been elected to the school. You don't like the school superintendent sending out the letter on school board stationery? Put somebody on the school board. Put five people on the school board. You talk to people who are actually serving as mayors or city councilmen in some of those towns and villages around there, and they talk about how hard it is for them to get things done if they're conservative. And when I say conservative, just let's say conservative economic principles, conservative budget principles, where you're the mayor of a town and you're trying to, they're coming to you and they want to spend, they're going to get federal money to spend such and such amount of money. Or they've got somebody working for the city who's making $150,000 a year as a quote unquote professional manager or accountant or something like that. And people who are really conservative and committed to conservative fiscal policies, let's say, forget the other stuff, who say, you know, we've at least got to make sure that we don't spend more and more and more of the taxpayers' dollars. We'd like to keep the tax increases to zero in our little town. They have to struggle to find allies on city councils, and they spend years building the base on the city council to be able to carry the day on carrying the votes so they get a majority of votes. And we're talking about very small towns with you know, city councils of 4 and 5 and 6 people, and they struggle. Where's the Tea Party to help them? And what I'm trying to say here is not to say that these Tea Party people are bad people or anything else. I'm saying that when I say ignorant, I don't mean stupid. I'm saying politically ignorant. And what happens is you go out and you try to tell them that they're politically ignorant. In other words, they don't understand organization and they tell you what they're doing, but it doesn't seem to be working. You got Jim Abler, one of the most moderate Republicans in the state of Minnesota, and certainly probably he's probably one of the most moderate Republicans in the whole world. And we're in the middle of this huge publicized rift, supposedly, in the Republican Party between the moderate establishment, which runs the state of Minnesota. I mean, the moderate Republican establishment in this state, whether they're moderate Republicans or moderate Democrats, run the state of Minnesota. And what does that mean? It means trains and stadiums and, you know, money for schools and all the things that Minnesotans supposedly love. It's high tax and high state involvement in almost everything. And it doesn't matter whether you're Republican or Democrat. And all I hear when I go out and when I talk to, quote, Republicans in this state is how furious they are at these people because they don't listen to them. And then something comes up like this, Senate District 35, which is a clear opportunity to put these people down, literally. And they found a candidate. They even managed to get that candidate endorsed by the local BPOU. And he gets his ass kicked by the moderate. What kind of a message does that send to the state capitol? What kind of a message does that send to anybody who even may be a congressman, to Colin Peterson or to Tom Emmer or to whoever's running for the Senate district congressional seat being vacated by John Klein? And it's the same argument down there. John Klein is a rhino and we can't have these rhinos. Okay, go win an election. And what happens? They get their asses kicked. Why? And this is what I'm trying to get across, and I'm passionate about it because they don't understand why they're getting their asses kicked. And it's either one of three or four things, okay? A, people don't agree with them, and they don't like their message, and they think they're crazy, and that's one possibility. Two, they don't understand how to organize by the precinct level and get enough people out to turn out the vote. And they're not conversant enough with the language and tools of actually getting the vote out. For example, and this is just a quick aside, during the 2014 cycle, one of the things that Mike McFadden, who ran for the U.S. Senate on the Republican side, did was they took over all the state apparatus because they were devoting all the money to the Minnesota GOP. And they said, we want 100 calls to everyone. One of these people who's a registered Republican to vote. And rather than call the people who were basically dormant Republicans in these districts, they called people who vote in every election. And the theory goes, they pissed those people off because they called them with these robocalls. And they said, you know what, I'm not going to vote because I'm angry because you're bothering me. So that's what I'm talking about. You know, you've got to have people in the district who are conversant with the people who live there. So they've gone door to door. They know who those people are. They know the Republicans that aren't voting. And this was the whole basis of the podcast I did with Mitch Rossow, who has developed this precinct by precinct tool to get people out to vote. The Democrats are already doing it. Congressman Keith Ellison has already got, they've got people getting paid, going door to door to try to get these guys out. Because guess what? The election is an hour and a half away in political terms. It's in November of 2016. It's now January. So we have a spring, a summer, and some part of fall to win this election. And what is the Tea Party doing? They're talking about impeaching the president, who's going to be out of office. They're talking about, you know, the Constitutional Convention. They've got people up there talking about guns, because that's instead of saying, here's what we're going to do. You're going to start working to put out an effort in your precinct, go door to door, find the dormant Republicans, get people to help you, or you're not going to come back to this meeting. The admission to this meeting requires that you act. You go to Democrat meetings, you know, Keith Ellison didn't sit there and talk about it. Keith Ellison figured out a way to create this thing and make it happen. And guess what the excuse is? It's always the same. Well, they've got money and they've got the unions and they've got this and they've got that. And it's like, do you think Henry Knox said that when he dragged the cannon over the top of the mountain to get them to George Washington? No, he said, they need cannon. We're going over the top of the mountain. And everybody said, oh, it's too hard. We can't. Do you think the Marines said that when they invaded Tarawa, when they lost 1,200 guys in the first, you know, half hour of the battle? Oh, we better stop. Do you think that they said, let's put the guys back in the boat at Normandy and said, it's too hard? No, they said, we're taking it. We're taking the hill. They're not the Tea Party. As a national movement is not taking the hill because it's distracting with all of this nonsense. Now, either the Tea Party is a political party and it has teeth and it can determine who wins and loses political races. And don't bring up David Brat either in Virginia, because David Brat is much more of a libertarian than he is a quote unquote Tea Party guy. Everybody tried to claim, the Tea Party tried to claim David Brat. David Brat's much more of a libertarian than anything else. And David Brat did that himself. I'm saying this is not a group that is delivering political power, period. There's a lot of talk. There's a lot of puffery. There's a lot of meetings where we talk about all these things. And like I said, there's always the guy with the UN book that's going to tell you why the UN is taking over the world. There's always the guy that sets up the whole display that says we have to end the Fed and hands you the pamphlet at every meeting. There's a lot of this, but it's not being translated to actual success. Now, there are some people who have been elected to planning council in their towns. There are some people who've been elected to school boards and so forth, but I don't think they're getting much help from the Tea Party. And I think this is a really important story that the media is not covering. They're taking it as gospel that the Tea Party is this important political element. Now, remember, nobody in the country has voted. So I'm going to say it again. February 1st is the Iowa caucus. March 1st is the Minnesota caucus. Now, these are precinct caucuses. This is the gateway to the political process. If you're so upset about President Obama, if you want to make sure that Congress hews to your political view, this is the gateway to that process. This is the gateway to BPOU offices in the state of Minnesota. This is the gateway to statewide office. This is the gateway to finding candidates. It's the gateway to success for presidential campaigns, both for the nomination and then long-term for the general election. It's the key to statewide races. It's especially the key to being delegates to county, state, and to the national convention so that you can fight for your party or your candidate. This is stuff, honestly, Democrats know this in their sleep. They've been active for years. They're on the school boards. They're on the county planning councils. They're, you know, important in their communities. They get it. Finding a candidate and getting that candidate endorsed by a BPOU is not necessarily political action. I mean, people should be congratulated for that, but it's getting the vote out. It's creating the machine that gets the vote out and does it consistently, election cycle after election cycle after election cycle, and it's thankless work. And when you're doing it, you can't be all up in the president being impeached or all excited because Glenn Beck said something. This is the problem with the conservative movement. It is almost entirely rhetorical. Now, I just got a message from a friend that said that in their little group, their little area. In fact, he's texting me again. You just heard the little ding. That they were able to get a lot of people to get out and vote, and that's great. So they had, we're talking about a special election in Senate District 35. I don't even know what the overall turnout was, but they were able to get increase their voter turnout. This is what it's all about, and it's not happening in general with these meetings that seem to be focused on the rhetorical. So it gives me no pleasure to say this, but I think it needs to be said. I think there's a sense of a cult of personality at some of these meetings, meaning that the people who organize the meeting are big wheels and everyone thinks that they're going to do it for them. I think there's a sense among people that go to tea parties that talk shows and media and everything else needs to support them. And if they did that, they'd get more results. I think there's a sense that these people just want to be armed with information so they can win the argument with their neighbor across the way who's in the unions. And they just don't understand political action. Build a platform that creates winning vote margins for your candidates by turning out the people who don't necessarily vote in every election. And then you can run anyone. Then you can, if the Republicans in the state of Minnesota, and I'm talking about the quote unquote principled Republicans, and this goes for the whole country, if they were able to create a precinct by precinct voter turnout mechanism and a mechanism to deliver workers and a mechanism to deliver contributions, they would have so much political power, it would be ridiculous. It would be the end of the Republican establishment because the Republican establishment is based entirely on all this control of the media and the message. So the answer to grassroots is actually having a grass. It's actually having roots. And that's what I'm talking about, precinct by precinct organizing. And I'm sorry, North Metro Tea Party, and for other people who are so-called, principled conservatives, 60% of the vote in a special election in which you've got very small voter turnout anyway is abysmal, and there's no excuse for it. Thanks to the digital sponsor, the BobDavisPodcast.com, podcast 456, and for this whole month, Alpha Systems. If you're a pilot, you know you want to get where you're going, but you also want to get there safe, and you want to be safe on takeoffs and landings. Alpha Systems makes the revolutionary angle of attack indicator. The bottom line is Alpha Systems AOA saves lives because it gives you an electronic indicator for that final turn to make sure that your wing is producing the proper amount of lift, and that's probably one of the most dangerous things that you can do. Click on the Alpha Systems banners for more information about Alpha's revolutionary angle of attack indicator at thebobdavispodcast.com. Their website explains how it works. It'll show you videos and tell you all about why Alpha Systems AOA is great. And again, it's FAA approved. And thanks you guys for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcasts. Thanks you guys for listening on Stitcher.com, iTunes, TuneIn, Blog Talk Radio. Thanks for listening to the new radio show at GCNLive.com. It's called the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. Thanks for liking and sharing and favoriting and following on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. I'm going to be doing Periscope when I start covering election 2016, which I think may start on the 23rd of January. I'll tell you more about that. And thanks for your donations for diesel fuel and Komodo Dragon coffee and the extension cord and the plugs for the block heater, which hopefully will get the thing started today. And thanks for visiting the BobDavisPodcast.com. Time to have some more coffee.
Boop. A scrub is a guy that thinks he's fly and is also known as a buster. Always talking about what he wants and just sits on his